Nightly news from Rio begins right now.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, reporting tonight from the Olympic Summer Games in Rio.
We want to update you on the massive meltdown today at the world's second largest airline that is still affecting passengers as we come on the air. Tonight, Delta Airlines is in recovery mode, trying to get people where they need to be after its global flight network was grounded to a halt for several hours when its computers went down. The outage turned some airport terminals into virtual encampments, passengers waiting for flights and answers. And it comes amid a troubling spate of airline computer failures. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has the latest.
The outage was massive, stretching across the country from Washington to Miami to Chicago.
We saw that the worldwide Delta was shut down, so I was like, whoa, I think I'm going to be kind of late.
And around the world, Delta passengers forced to deplane in London, the ground stop dragging on for 6 hours. More than 450 flights canceled, thousands of passengers delayed. With customer service lines swamped, travelers took to social media to get information.
I apologize for the challenge.
Delta CEO tweeting out an apology.
It's an all-hands-on-deck effort.
The airline says a power outage in Atlanta around 2:30 this morning knocked out its computer system offline. But Georgia Power blames Delta, saying the airline's electrical equipment failed and caused the outage.
I don't understand why they don't have a backup system that would solve this problem.
Andrea Muhammad desperately trying to get to New York.
Going through your head.
Panic. Sheer panic.
This comes 3 weeks after computer issues forced Southwest to cancel more than 1,000 flights. As for Delta's problem, experts say a computer hack is unlikely. After years of airline mergers, the failure could be due to decades-old technology or human error. Today, no comment from Delta on why its backup systems didn't work.
There's no doubt that a Fortune 500 company should have backup systems that kick in for these processes. If they don't, it should be somebody's head at the airlines.
Tonight, Delta's backlog is slowly improving, but the ripple effect could last for days.
Here in Atlanta, there is still a lengthy check-in line, and all of this will cost Delta. The airline is now offering a fee waiver for anyone trying to rebook their flights and a $200 travel voucher for anyone with a flight cancellation today or more than a three-hour delay. Lester?
There's no easy transition here as we turn now back home to growing questions after a tragedy on the world's tallest water slide. A 10-year-old boy died while on the 168-foot tall slide at a Kansas City park, and investigators are trying to determine what went so terribly wrong. NBC's Blake McCoy is there for us tonight.
The ride's name, Verrückt, means insane in German. It's the world's tallest water slide, and tonight is shut down after a 10-year-old boy was killed Sunday. Caleb Schwab was visiting the park with his family. His father is a Kansas State lawmaker. Schlitterbahn Water Park is offering no details about what went wrong, only saying a full investigation is underway.
We honestly don't know.
The slide is 17 stories high and can reach speeds of 65 miles per hour before shooting up a hill and back down again. Witnesses tell our affiliate KSHB it was on that hill where the boy was launched airborne, out of the raft and into a safety net.
They let you sign up without having an age barrier, so you think your kids are safe, and they're not.
Safety concerns date back to 2014. This video from a Travel Channel documentary shows rafts flying off the slide during initial testing. The opening was delayed 3 times as protective netting was added, Velcro straps installed for passengers, and parts of the slide were rebuilt. In the 2 years the ride has been open, no serious injuries have been reported. A Schlitterbahn spokesperson says they hire outside inspectors to check the park at the start of each season. Their own workers check rides daily before opening.
There are no federal regulations or even reporting requirements for amusement parks or water parks.
Tonight, a 10-year-old boy is dead with few answers as to what went wrong.
The investigation here in Kansas is being led by local police. Tonight, we have learned the water park plans to reopen on Wednesday. That slide, though, will remain closed. Lester?
All right, Blake, thank you. Tonight, there are new headwinds facing Donald Trump. Yet another indicator his support is slipping. Trump trailing Hillary Clinton by 13 points in a new Monmouth University poll out today. And as Trump tries to right the ship by focusing on the economy, dozens of senior Republican national security officials are warning about the dangers they see in the potential Trump presidency. NBC's Katie Turr has it all covered for us.
Today, 50 of the country's leading national security officials who worked in Republican administrations have had enough, signing a letter refusing to vote for Trump. That list, including former CIA Director Michael Hayden, former Homeland Security Chiefs Michael Chertoff, and Tom Ridge. The group warning the GOP nominee would be the most reckless president in American history. That caution coming after Trump addressed the Detroit Economic Club, using the city's struggles as a backdrop to refocus his message.
The city of Detroit is the living, breathing example of my opponent's failed economic agenda.
Coming off a bruising week in which the GOP threatened revolt, Trump is getting in line.
We will work with House Republicans on this plan using the same brackets they have proposed.
Trump vowing to reform tax policy, renegotiate trade deals, and put a moratorium on new regulations.
There's nothing in this plan how we're going to fix our debt situation, nothing how we're going to get our entitlements under control, and really not enough about how we're actually going to grow the economy.
Clinton rallying in Florida criticized it as more of the same GOP talking points.
He wants to basically just repackage trickle-down economics.
A bright spot for Trump this weekend, getting support from George P. Bush, the son of a former rival, Jeb Bush. Late tonight, Donald Trump responded to those national security leaders, arguing that they were the ones that decided to invade Iraq, and they were the ones who enabled the rise of ISIS. Katie Sir, NBC News, Detroit.
Florida has confirmed its first case of homegrown Zika in Palm Beach County, bringing the total cases in that state to 17. It was found well outside the Miami neighborhood. Pregnant women had been told to avoid. The patient did recently travel to the Miami area, but it's not clear where the infection occurred. Starting today, all pregnant women throughout Florida can be tested for Zika for free. A big deal in the business world today to report. Walmart is buying online retailer Jet.com, which launched a year ago with the intention of challenging Amazon's internet retail dominance. The deal is worth $3 billion in cash plus $300 million in stock as Walmart makes moves to attract younger customers. A rare and remarkable moment here at the Rio Games when North and South Korea united, if only for a fleeting moment, through the power of the selfie. Two gymnasts, one from the north and one from the south, snapped a photo together yesterday as they prepared to compete. A reminder of how the Olympics and the bond of athletic excellence can sometimes transcend the things that divide our nations. When we come back, the hot trend on display here in Rio will explain why so many Olympians look like they're covered in purple polka dots. Finally tonight, it was the burning question on social media all across the country last night as Michael Phelps gathered with his teammates by the pool before their gold medal swim. What were those circular markings all over his upper back and shoulders? Turns out there's a very good explanation, something that's been known in Hollywood circles for quite a while. Our intrepid Peter Alexander went in search of the benefits of cupping.
He's the world's most recognizable Olympian at these games, decorated in unrecognizable marks. Michael Phelps arriving poolside, brandishing a bunch of bruises that left Americans guessing. On Twitter, Michael Phelps probably just fell asleep on his medals. Those giant spots, the result of a therapy technique called cupping, to loosen muscles and encourage blood flow. American swimmer Dana Volmer, who won two medals last night, routinely relies on cupping, just not before competitions.
I personally don't like walking out looking like I've been attacked by an octopus.
This ancient Chinese tradition perhaps now helping a modern American one, winning. Not limited to the pool. For many of us, those red dots first appeared on the red carpet. Gwyneth Paltrow premiering her own fashion statement. Cupping even makes a cameo in one of Phelps' latest ads. The man delivering those welts, the U.S. Olympic swim team's head athletic trainer, Keenan Robinson. Just one of a series of popular therapies, from massage to ice tubs.
I kind of laugh because people asking about cupping is like asking the best chef about the garnish on his best meal that he's cooked.
So you're probably wondering, does it hurt?
That does not look healthy.
And Phelps keeps them there for 5 minutes.
That's like the world's best flu shot right there. That's what that is. That's going to be a beauty.
Already leaving its mark on these games. Peter Alexander, NBC News, Rio.
That's going to do it for us on this Monday night. A reminder, NBC's primetime Olympic coverage begins at 8 p.m., 7 Central. It is going to be a big night for swimming. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night from Rio.